Nolte, Rotten Tomatoes, audiences rave for Melania with 98% rating while bitter critics try to destroy it. By John Nolte on January 31, 2026. Somehow, the entertainment media has become even more hateful, bigoted, bubbled, elitist, dishonest, and useless than the corporate political media. Case in point. As of this writing, Melania, a documentary about First Lady Melania Trump, which has already taken the box office crown for the best documentary opening weekend in a decade, has a 6% rotten score over at Rotten Tomatoes. The normal people score, however, sits at 98% fresh. That's a 92% gap between normal people and corrupt critics. It's Saturday, and I got TV to watch, so I'm not going to do the research. But my memory tells me that is the biggest gap in the history of Rotten Tomatoes. Hey, what do you say we do some context? I love doing context. The 2020 Michelle Obama documentary Becoming? Corrupt critics drooled over it with a 93% fresh ratings. Normal people scored it at 57% rotten. The 2016 feature film Southside with You, about Barry and Michelle's courtship? Corrupt critics drooled over it with a 92% fresh rating. Normal people were less impressed with a 71% score. The 2017 documentary The Final Year, about Barry's final year as president? Corrupt critics drooled over that dud to 83% fresh. Normal people were far less impressed with a rating of 49%. Meanwhile, CinemaScore has given Melania an A rating. One of the reasons critics cannot judge a movie on its merits is that most critics are leftists, and leftists are spoiled by popular culture. Almost every movie, book, documentary, and TV show is geared toward promoting a particular worldview. This means that when something dares to come along that in any way questions that worldview, they do not have the emotional coping mechanisms necessary to look past their own immature disappointment. Instead, they lash out like the emotional children they are. So, what do we get instead of informed and thoughtful criticism? Tantrums. The pissy, far-left rap. Most of the time, Ratner would rather look at her shoes. The closest thing Melania has to a story arc concludes when she finally takes her heels off at 2 a.m. on Inauguration Day. The audience actually sighed with relief. I guess there wasn't much more to latch onto, although some people did chant USA. USA. A few times. Yep, that's the country we live in, all right. Well played. Meanwhile, innocent people are being shot and killed in public by these people's secret police. They could be doing something about that, but they'd rather sell tickets so you can get a good look at their shoes and hear them sing in the backseat of their limousines. Now that's cinema. Unfortunately, Obama put kids in cages and drone-striked American citizens. Just, FYI. The pissy, far-left Atlantic. It is galling to think about Jeff Bezos, whose wife is a former TV news anchor, deciding to invest so much money apparently to buy the president's good graces while reportedly preparing to cut hundreds of jobs at the Washington Post. Amazon reps have insisted that the company invested so heavily in the movie purely because we think customers are going to love it. It is also galling, to me at least, that Apple CEO Tim Cook attended the premiere of Melania this week while the Trump administration's militarized forces are killing Americans and detaining preschoolers. Melania Trump really doesn't seem to care about the optics of launching her $75 million showreel while the country is in such profound crisis, that much she has always made clear. But most Americans do. And the particular details of the past week, the demonstrations and the tear gas in Minneapolis, the Melania ads covering the sphere, the themed macaron at the White House, the scurrying away of many who were professionally involved with this documentary, should be remembered long after the film itself is forgotten. The fact that Jeff Bezos spent $75 million on Melania as is firing 300 Washington Post staffers gives me pure joy, so thank you for putting it that way. The pissy, far-left variety. It should have been called Day of the Living Tradwife. Made for an outrageously high budget, $40 million, plus $35 million spent on marketing. With a director who'd effectively been canceled over accusations of sexual abuse and was in no position to do anything but what he was told. That is, to be directed, the film, in its junk streaming prefab day in the life reality show way, mirrors the control of the Trump administration. Could you wipe your mouth and repeat that middle part? These spoiled, entitled babies are so blinded by hate and intolerance that they cannot even see the story here. The story of an immigrant girl born into working-class communism who worked her way to the top of her modeling profession and is now the First Lady of the United States. She's a wonderful mother. She's pure class. Her biography is the stuff of legend. But the fascist movie critics hate her because she disagrees with their fascist politics. These reviews tell us everything about the critics and nothing about the movie. Their lens is warped. Their professionalism is non-existent. As movie critics, they are utterly useless. By the way, my very first review for Breitbart News was a rave for Steven Soderbergh's six-hour hagiography of communist, mass murderer Che Guevara. John Nolte's first and last novel, Borrowed Time, is winning five-star raves from everyday readers. You can read an excerpt here and an in-depth review here. Also available in hardcover and on Kindle and audiobook.